Hilariously Melbourne. Choosing Fifi, Feb, and Nick for your mornings is almost as easy as choosing the right electricity provider. Lumo has great deals and it's 100% Aussie owned. Join Lumo today.
Now, our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, he's been making the headlines the last few days. He held his press conference regarding achieving net zero emissions by 2050. Big target. And this is all ahead of the upcoming, is it sort of called, are they calling it the COP26 or the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow?
I'm actually not across that at the minute because the NFL, NBA and the UFC's on. There's a few other acronyms I'm focused on.
They're calling it the COP, bro.
Well, okay, he's getting geared up for that, and this was a huge announcement, net zero emissions by 2050, but something else from the press conference has caught our attention. He said the word plan 101 times.
Our plan is a fair plan. It's a practical plan. It's a responsible plan. Our plan for net zero by 2050 is the plan that I believe Australians want. Our plan gets the balance right to ensure that we get the plan right. Our plan works with Australians. Australians want a plan, and our plan enables them, and our plan enables them to do that.
Wow.
It's really,
it should be noted those plans were over the course of some time. It wasn't just that. That wasn't the sentence unedited.
No.
It's just stuck in a loop. Plan.
Did you plan that?
But, oh, ScoMo.
You know, when you get, it's like when you get a go-to word, like I have no doubt that his right-hand man or woman after that is going to go, now, next time we do something, you just pull back on that. Another word that a lot of people, in fact, I recently have been doing a bit of publicity for my new book, my children's book, Minty May Gray and the Strangely Good Day,
and
available now at all good bookstores.
You've been saying that a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't said it for like 2 weeks. But anyway, my manager said to me when I was doing some of my interviews, she said, just pull back on the word journey, because I'd go, Minty May Gray, she goes on this little journey through the book. And journey's like apparently a no-go word. You can't, like, people are overhearing people talk about their journeys.
Yeah, because it's on a Bunnings ad now. I'll help them with their journey to redo the bathroom. It's not a journey. You're sticking tiles to the wall. Grow up.
But now, Fev, you may not know. You say a word quite a
hundreds.
Bit. There we go. I think we may even have a montage.
100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. And I'm talking about how good looking I am.
All the time. Geez.
100.
But 30, 10, 60, share words that either you're sick of hearing, you're overusing, that are being overused. It's a good little whinge segment. Let's air these words we don't want to hear anymore.
I know, with Mando. My house, I'm saying oi a lot. Just because my 3-year-old is just really testing my pace. Oi, 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 oi.
Oi.
Don't. Oi and don't.
Does he come back with Aussie, Aussie?
He should. What about pivot? Pivot's one, I reckon, since the pandemic.
Yeah,
a lot of business people can't stop saying the word pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to put together maybe a list of words we'd like to stop hearing. Journey's
COVID.
Right up there.
COVID. Yeah,
Tony.
Vaccine.
In Balnarring. Hey, Tony.
How you going?
Good, Tony. What word do you use a lot and you can't stop yourself?
Well, apparently my franchisee, one of them in particular, says I use the word unpack for every instance. Unpack the journey, unpack the marketing plan, I unpack everything apparently. So what? I've had to find a different word and I'm struggling to find it. So.
Why do you say it so much? Let's unpack this.
I don't know. It's just
is it a nervous thing?
Maybe.
I get it.
I get nervous, but unpack.
It's a good one, Tony, unpack, because it applies to everything. Like, sit down for a meeting after the show. Okay, guys, let's unpack what happened at 7 o'clock on the show. Come on. I like it. It's the same as talk about. Let's chat. Let's unpack. I don't mind it, Tony.
You should be
a good
boss,
word.
Fee.
I like the word.
You'd love
that.
Yeah,
let's
wouldn't
unpack.
I?
Brainstorm.
Now, thank you, Tony. Is it Elias in Tullamarine?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, excellent, Elias. And what word are you using or that you're sick of?
Oh, Right. So it's yeah, the boys. So everyone just had absolutely thrashed it. Look, I love it, but everyone's absolutely thrashed it. And every Snapchat I see, it's just yeah, the boys.
Yeah, the boys. Yeah, the boys.
I've never seen yeah, the boys.
That means the algorithm works.
Yeah, the boys. We use it all the time when we're playing COD. Yeah, the boys. Let's go, boys. Yeah, the boys.
YTB. After a dub.
What's YTB?
Yeah, the boys.
Okay,
yeah,
the boys. Okay, got it.
And Fee, you won't like this being a triple school captain. Boys generally is spelt B-O-I-I-I-I-I-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. No. Yeah, the boys.
Okay. I always can't work out how many to put in, like when you're writing it real long, like how many I's and how many Z's you put in.
Well, that's the best part. There's no correct spelling because you're spelling boys with an I and a Z, so just go
ham on it. I used to always say a word, guys, when I was getting interviewed, when I was playing footy or on TV. And most footballers do it. When you watch a press conference with a footballer, they always say, obviously, 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 obviously.
Obviously.
After every sentence, they go, obviously, you know, we didn't play this. Obviously, we'll do this. And Alex used to pick me up on it all the time. But I used to tell, I think it's a nervous thing. When you get nervous in front of the camera, you just say, obviously.
But it's also
100%.
Do you know what it is?
100%.
100%. Feb, it's also a word. It buys you time, that word. Often people use words that are buying them time. So when you get asked, so, Feb, what were you thinking on that Mad Monday? Well,
obviously I wasn't thinking at all. And obviously I'm not happy about the situation. And obviously I'll take that back if I could.
That's obvious.
Feb, that's better than the other footy one, which is yeah, nah, yeah. Love a bit of that. How'd the boys play? Yeah, nah, yeah. Pick one.
How do you think the boys went today? Yeah.
Amy on the Mornington Peninsula where you are right now, Feb. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Fee.
Amy, have you got a word that's been used a lot that you're a bit sick of?
Oh, 100%. Somebody on that show uses bro all the time.
Me?
Oh, bro. Fee.
Yeah, bro.
Feb.
Feb.
What's wrong with that, bro?
101.9 The Fox. Now, a member of our team has a very I've got to be careful with my choice of words because I don't want to discriminate against you, Josiah.
Ooh.
But you have a strange phobia.
Yeah.
It's an unpredictable phobia. Nobody would understand how somebody could be terrified. Who could be terrified of Band-Aids.
Even the word makes me, and I've seen it on our rundown here, it makes my stomach just a bit ill.
He can't, Melbourne, if you don't know this.
What is it?
Josiah,
the VACC? Oh, no, Band-Aid, sorry.
You can't put a Band-Aid near him. If you've got a Band-Aid on your finger, he can't look at you. Feb, you've thrown a couple at him and he's gone to dry reach. Yeah. Like, it's a very strange condition you have.
My son Charlie keeps asking me, Sire, still scared of Band-Aid? yeah, mate, I don't know why. It's just going to be a while.
So you may not like this, Josiah, but this is great news. Apparently they're creating smart bandages, guys. So it's a Band-Aid that will tell a doctor whether the wound has healed.
Great idea.
And what it does, they haven't said how much these will cost yet, but they're equipped. It's a Band-Aid that will be equipped with a sensor, and the sensor reads the moisture levels in your skin. And that's actually isn't that amazing?
Yuck.
That's how they can, the crucial indicator of whether or not a wound has healed is the level of moisture in it.
Because someone that's had a lot of bandages and been sewn up a few times, when you have a wound and you take it off and it's not healed properly, it retakes the skin off. So therefore, you have to reapply it and it takes longer.
That's the...
This is genius.
Isn't it?
Is it though?
Are you serious?
Isn't that the sensor? You go to take it off and you go, well, that's not moving.
Yeah, but then you've already peeled it off and then the water gets in. You've already broke the seal, bro. Once you break the Band-Aid seal, it just comes off and it gets all fluff and stuff in it.
Oh.
Mate, this is brilliant. Well done.
Isn't it good? And then apparently it tells your smartphone, so it communicates with your smartphone to say that. But how expensive is that Band-Aid? Because I don't know, you've got kids. Trixie will go through about 10 Band-Aids a day.
Yeah.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I'm like...
Well, Toby loves the Band-Aids because they're Peppa Pig and Elsa ones.
Yeah, ours are the Elsa ones.
Yeah, she just goes finding them off for no reason.
Oh, Fee, come on.
No, are you okay,
Josiah?
They come
off in the bath, yeah.
That's what I hate.
But they're
so expensive that it would be great to find a stranger's one in the pool. You go, I'm loaded.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, there is a great new show starting Monday night, 7:30 on Channel 9. Anyone who is a parent, this is a must-see. But even if you're planning to be a parent one day, maybe if you're an aunt or a grandparent, you'll find something in this for you because it's called Parental Guidance. Now, it's going to analyse people's parenting styles and we'll get to find out which parenting styles are the most effective. It's hosted by the wonderful Ali Langdon, and she's joined by Australian parenting expert Dr. Justin Coulson, who joins us now. Justin, welcome to the show.
Oh, morning, everyone. It's great to be with you.
Oh, Justin, I know we've only probably got a few minutes here to talk to you, but the three of us would love to spend maybe an hour with you to find out what we're doing right or wrong.
Just to get away from our kids.
Now, this is such a great concept, Justin. There's going to be a number of, we're going to go on a journey, I guess, for want of a better word, and see lots of parents facing tough challenges, and you're going to analyse it. Is that right? What can we expect?
So we've got 10 sets of Aussie parents from right around the country. We've got like a single mum with six kids who homeschools her kids. There's some free-range parents who let their kids kind of just make up their own rules. There's nature parents who live in a tent. There's the strict parents who are like, no, kids, you're going to, that's my way or the highway, and I'm going to give you a whack on the bum if you don't do the right thing, and everything in between. And like you said, they do a whole lot of challenges, and then we watch them participate in those challenges and have conversations about what they do as parents to make their families work, or sometimes, as the case might be, not work so well.
This is really fascinating to us personally, Justin, because we're three parents sitting here and we often tell each other stories and we get shocked by our parenting. We're all a bit different. Would you mind giving us a scenario and see how the three of us handle it as parents? And then maybe you could decide what kind of parents we are?
Okay, so here's the scenario. Let's do one that's actually in the show. Okay. You get to a fancy restaurant. Now everyone knows that you probably shouldn't take your kids to a fancy restaurant because they're not going to do that well. But
yeah,
you get to the fancy restaurant with the kids, and you sit down.
Depends what sort of parent you are. My kids are good in a restaurant.
Oh, right. Oh well, we know who's going to win this one already. Then competitive. And so you sit down. You order the fancy meal. And then the kids kind of start scrunching up their nose and saying, yeah, I don't know if I want to eat this. And they also don't really want to sit still on the chair in the restaurant. They're kind of interested in what's going on at the table next to them. So how do you deal with it? How much force the kids to eat their meal, and how much do you force them to have good table manners and sit quietly and do as they're told?
Let's start with Nick. Nick, how would you handle that?
They're not coming to a fancy restaurant until they're 16 minimum. And then it's going to be a talk outside saying, if you stuff around here, bad news. Nobody's getting smacks, but they're just not going to get, you know, the things they want. Yeah, they shouldn't be in there. How old are the kids you're talking about? Because I've got a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old. So they should be nowhere near a restaurant for another decade.
Yeah, so all the families have got kids between around about sort of 4 or 5 up to about 15 or 16. So we're right in that target.
Okay, now, Feb, how would you handle that?
Well, my kids are pretty well behaved in a restaurant because we've been dining for a long time. So I've got a 21-year-old, a 15, an 11, and a 2-year-old. So we take they eat pretty much everything. So they're pretty good. We have good table chat. But the 2-year-old, we'd probably take a sachet. If there's no kid menu, we'd take a sachet or something that she likes, and we just give her the iPhone and she just watches Peppa Pig, and she's fine. She doesn't say a word.
And Justin,
you were looking good until the iPad came out, I've got to say. You were looking real good until the iPad came out.
Well, the iPhone's only out to help other people around, because if they don't have that, they do become boisterous, and you don't want other people to be having an inconvenience, yeah.
Now, Justin, I was going to say, I'm almost identical to Feb, so I do whatever it takes to get through the situation. So if I've got sweets in the bag, whatever I've got in my handbag, just give it to them. And then obviously pass them the iPhone and the iPad. So I think we're the same, Fev. How's our parenting, Justin?
Yeah, you know what? I reckon you're doing what most parents do in these situations. That is, you're reading the riot act, like Nick said, before you walk in. It's like, you better do the right thing, or crikey, there's going to be strife. And then you do everything you can to get through it. I was really surprised that your kids are so willing to eat. It is fun. It is so fun to watch these families as they sit in the restaurants with their kids and try to get them to eat snails and oysters and that kind of stuff. I mean, it is... you're just going to crack up. And the whole time, you're going to be watching and going, geez, what would I do? Like, is this okay? Can I pull out the little sachet? Can I get in the pouch now? Sometimes 5-year-olds don't like pouches, though. I've got to say that.
Mate, I remember I was in Vanuatu and we went to a French restaurant and we got served up some snails. And I think the kids were a little bit younger. This was 2012. And they all said, these snails taste like chicken. They couldn't say chicken properly, so we forced them to eat snails. But, Doc, I've got a question for you about Fifi Boxer's parenting. Now, this just happened literally 5 minutes ago. I witnessed it with my own eyes. Now, Fee's at home, and her young daughter, Trixie Bell Box, walked in, school uniform, all ready to go to school, and she put on that real, oh, Mum, I'm feeling a little bit sick today. I don't know if I should go to... And she's going, oh, blah, 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 doing all this, and tricks it. There's nothing wrong with her. So she just got the day off. She's just pulled one over her eyes, and she's going, she's so cute. Oh. She looked fresh. She looked great. She had her hair done, ready to go to school.
I said, if you feel like you go to school, go to school, but if you don't feel like...
You gave her the option. You can't give her the option. That's you going to school, hon. There was nothing wrong with her.
What should I have done, Justin?
I think you should sign up for season 2, Fifi. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, Justin, we can't wait for this. It's Monday night, 7:30, Channel 9. We love Ali, so we're going to watch you both on this show, Parental
Sounds
Guidance.
Brilliant.
Let's all watch and imagine how we would handle these scenarios. And I guess you can sit in your lounge room and figure out if you're a good parent.
It depends if Trixie lets you watch, Fee.
Thanks, Dr. Justin.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Boys, you're going to love what I've done here because I do try to bring things to the table that I know you'll like. So I've got a bit of basketball and I got a bit of Squid Game. Yay!
Wow.
Squid Games, actually. It's plural, isn't it? Now, is it Squid Game or Squid Games?
It's a non-verb.
Anyway, it's a great Netflix series and I've watched it, so I'm well across it.
Yes.
But it's the number one television show watched in the world. Billions of people are watching this. And LeBron James, Lakers player, LA Lakers.
Space Jam.
Nick, he's having a chat with his mate, Travis Barker. Hang on. Is it Travis? No. Who's his mate? Who's his teammate?
Travis, you know,
Anthony
Travis?
Davis?
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, that guy. Oh, Travis Barker. He's engaged to Kourtney Kardashian.
Wow.
Sorry, I accidentally slipped a Kardashian into the rave. So he's having a chat with Anthony Davis, and it's on social media. So I'm going to play. This was them talking about Squid Game.
Yeah, I don't like to end it. I know they started off with a season 2, but like, get on the fight. What's in the dark, bro? Like, what are you doing? That's a 5 billion. Wow, bro. You won't beat no dog.
It's not my problem.
You won the game.
I won the game.
You went twice. How you beat me?
It's about to get my right back.
Now, I won't repeat it because it is a spoiler alert. There's an ending that not everybody loves, and LeBron James doesn't love that ending.
He's
just explained why he didn't like the ending.
Fee, I love that's your cover-up for completely spoiling the ending there. I won't replay what LeBron just said. That's his fault.
I'm hoping no one heard it. Okay, that's all. Just everybody stop talking. But, okay, LeBron doesn't like the ending. That's gone out on social media. But the show's creator, and I absolutely love this, because LeBron James, big, you know, powerful man.
Powerful man.
And you wouldn't want to take him on. But Hwang Dong-hyuk, he's the South Korean creator. Thank you. Worked on that. He has bitten back. So somebody asked him about LeBron's feedback and said, did you see LeBron James, Lakers star, has had a crack at the ending? Mm. And this guy, Hwang, he's gone, have you seen Space Jam 2? Oh. Bang!
Oh.
Yes!
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, he said, I'm very
he's
grateful.
On fire.
I'm very thankful he watched the whole series, but I wouldn't change my ending. That's my ending. Hwang, go for it.
I love it.
Power play.
I like it too. Yeah.
I wonder what the next series will be, because there'll be another series. Do you reckon he's going to go after him?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, again, for people who haven't watched it, let's just stop talking about the ending.
If you haven't watched it now, it's
no,
on you.
No, it's not.
Are you serious?
It's still new. No,
it's not. It's on you.
It's like I haven't watched the last series of Lost. That's starting to be on me
because
that ended
in
2008.
That is definitely on you.
101.9 The Fox.
We are welcoming to the show a DJ who has worked with Madonna, Stevie Wonder, Lenny Kravitz, Rihanna, even DJed Prince William's 30th birthday.
What a dog.
DJ Dan Lywood, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Nice to speak to you.
Oh, what a resume. I mean, I don't even know where to start, Dan. How did you end up working or DJing at Will's 30th?
I'm trying to remember who put me forward for that. It was a mutual friend of ours. He owned a Russian restaurant in Knightsbridge, and he called me up and he said, I've got a gig for you. There's not much money. I said, no problem. Turned up a few hundred pounds. And I said, who's it for? And I said, I was doing him a favor because he was a mate of mine. And he said, I won't tell you till you get here. I turn up, it's Prince William. It was quite awkward. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty bizarre. Bizarre night, I have to say.
Now, mate, it obviously is a Penfolds Victoria Derby Day on Saturday. I love a Penfolds. My favourite is a Bin 407. What's your go-to Penfolds?
Good question. So I've just been sent an amazing box. They produced a beautiful...
I know, I've seen it. I didn't get one. It? Everyone's got one and I don't have one. I'm like, no, it's got the 708. It's got the 389.
It's that's my favorite, and but there's some of it I'm not allowed to drink for 5 years. I'm like,
what do you mean?
Okay,
you gotta let it sit,
lay it down, let it sit for 5 years.
Maybe just roll it like some of those beers, and it'll be right.
Yeah,
and it comes with the recorder. What's the vinyl?
So the vinyl I received is the best of it. It's the greatest hits of Elton John, alongside an album by the new album by Lord. So well, a bit of old, a bit of new, something along, you know, the same way we did the playlist, really. There's kind of starting with some classic artists, but then, you know, really becoming something very modern for the sort of modern Penfolds fan.
Now, Dan, the playlist you're talking about is for Derby Day. You have put together Dan Lywood's playlist that people can download and enjoy for Penfolds, hence the wonderful work there of Penfolds. Now, I want to go back to, and I can I do all the dropping of the names? You're not doing any of this, but I have to find out, Dan. You've worked with Madonna?
I did a party at Madonna's house in London, again, through a mutual friend. One of her buddies, who's an event producer, called me up. It's at Madonna's house. There's no fee, but do you want to do it? What? I said, of course I want to do it.
So, the rich get richer. I know, pay the artists.
I know. It was like, everyone's doing it for nothing. I was like, okay, no problem. And it was very charming. It was a very sweet, small affair, maybe 50 people, lots of dancing, you know, disco classics. Pretty
then
fun.
Then you get there and the other DJ's being paid about 4,000 quid.
I'd be knocking stuff off out of the house.
What was it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dan, what was her place like? Is it like super neat? Is she like, what's going on in there?
Do you know what? I signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, of course. Of course. And that's fair
really
enough.
I can't discuss it. But it was, you know, as you'd imagine, pretty stylish. And she was really charming, actually. I didn't expect her to kind of engage necessarily, but she said hi and was very sweet. And
nice.
Yeah, she was really charming. Lovely lady.
And was Wills, what about Prince Wills at his birthday? Because fair enough, he'd be distracted. It is his birthday. Yeah, did you get a chat with him?
No. I was very much the hired help. I was in a corner. He likes dance music. We used to do Harry's iPod. We used to fill up Harry's iPod as well. And they like dance music. They like deep house. And, you know, they're kind of into dance.
Going to America. Did you play that on it?
I didn't. No.
Hey, now, one of my favorites is Rihanna. Did you get on the Penfolds with Rihanna? She looked like she'd party. She'd be good to party with.
You know what? The party I did with Rihanna is actually one of my worst gig experiences of all time. She was booked to play at Tamara Eccleston's birthday party. You know, she's the F1 guy, Bernie Eccleston's daughter. Yes. And I was coming on after Rihanna, which was obviously quite a tough act to follow. And there was a reveal, and I came up on like a podium as everyone was leaving the party.
Oh,
3 hours to an empty room. So that was not a great gig for me.
Oh,
but you know, still goes on the resume. It's still on there, but not good.
Dan, it's such an impressive resume.
Thank you.
It's lovely, and we can't wait for this. So you can download Dan Lywood's playlist. It's ahead of Penfolds Derby Day this Saturday at penfolds.com/Derby Day. Get around it, and thanks for joining us, Dan.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. See if they can send me some Penfolds.
Yeah, we got that. Fev. They got
Fev.
That.
Fev, Brendan Favola, thank you.
Oh, while you're at it, send us all some. Let's get on Måneskin at the Fox.
Don't you jump on, man.
1019, the Fox.
Before we wrap up the show, it is Fifi Fev and Nick Fox.
This is the Fee's at home getting her hair done, and Foe, the wonderful Foe, just said, give me a heads up when I can't do your hair. Fee goes, now.
Because Foe was about to use the hair dryer. So she said, tell me when I can't use the hair dryer. Now.
Right now.
So good. Now, let's end the show with a bit of fun. And look, I think they like to poke fun at themselves too. Some are very serious, though. Let's introduce them with their theme song.
Social media is your life. You're an influencer. Your job is to get them likes. You're an influencer.
Two influencers have made headlines for some of their poor influencing.
They're just
one of them.
Internet Moiras.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Internet Moiras, just selling stuff.
On Instagram.
Nothing wrong with that, Nicholas.
One influencer has, she's had to delete her account after something she did. So not
the whole
just
account's
muted.
Gone.
Yeah, she hasn't just turned off comments.
She's lost her job.
She's wiped it. Well, so she should. She took some glamour photos of herself. So she was sort of standing there posing in a tight little outfit.
Looking
and
good.
And behind
that's
her,
the job.
She was ticking all the influencer boxes until people recognised behind her an open coffin where her dad was being laid to rest.
Jeez, he'd be proud, wouldn't he?
What a desert. Like, that's. And she threw in a hashtag dadless. I mean, I don't know what to say. She's gone, fortunately. She's off in. She's
hashtag
off
jobless.
That's. Not cool.
Wow.
And then the second one. Now, this is an interesting one. Her name is Jess Hunt. And she's firing up. She's been criticised for photoshopping herself in front of the Eiffel Tower. So it's very clearly it looks like I'm standing with the people who are calling her out.
Is that a girl in the black dress?
Yes.
I've seen this. It's a beautiful photo.
Yeah, it is. But she's got 1.5 million followers. But she's being called out because it's Photoshopped. Now, the main reason, she's denying this, but the main reason that most people can realise it's Photoshopped is she's standing in front of the Eiffel Tower on a road as cars go under the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. And anyone who's been to Paris would know there's no road under the Eiffel Tower.
Mate, got me, bro.
It's a park.
Hey, I was about to call you.
You drive through
Boxy.
It.
I thought I was talking to Alex. We always have these fights over this sort of stuff. Now,
I saw
this photo and I was like, that is beautiful. How did she get in there and not get hit? Oh, yeah. She's not even standing on the road when you look at it.
Yeah. Why she's in trouble, Nick, is because she's denying the Photoshop. So she's going, no, I was there. That is me. Now, unless the only thing I can think is if the Eiffel Tower is a lot further away than it looks in this photo. Because right now it looks like she's, 10 metres in front of it?
Yeah, she's...
And there's cars going underneath
it. Could be Vegas. There's an Eiffel Tower in Vegas.
Maybe.
The other one did selfies at a funeral. Who cares about the Eiffel Tower? Let's get out of here. That's all I'd be doing. I'd actually Photoshop myself in front of the other person's photos. Go, is that better? No.
How has she got 1.2 million followers?
Well, she's an influencer. 1.5. That's what they do. They gather them.
Yeah, but usually they're... Yeah, okay.
Anyway, stop looking at her photos.
Let's
We're moving
get
on.
Get out of here.
Hilariously Melbourne. Fever Nick are powered by Lumo Energy. Victorian residential customers are winning thousands in free electricity credits in the ultimate power draw. Competition ends 19 December 2021. TNC supply.